This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, Richie, can I ask you a question? You can set us up for Farhan or not. I'll let you do one, and then I'm not going to tell you the answer yet. Camilo Doval, Farhan or not?
What am I saying now? What is he?
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Might have put him on the spot just a little bit. Poor guy's out there with a phone to his ear in New York. He's like, What? What are you talking about?
Right.
We're talking about Farhan or not. So earlier today, Mark Grandy, who is still alive,
yep.
We're told.
Sources.
These texts could be coming from anywhere.
I did text him earlier offline, just he and I, just to say, dude.
Yeah,
but
do you know it's actually him who has this phone right now? It could be anybody with a sports take in the Bay Area.
His tone was just snarky enough to where I thought, you know what? It's Grandy. It's the Grandy man.
Do Grandy impersonations.
Yep.
But anyway, he's still alive, and he said, look, I don't want to be unfair. It's only Buster's first year, but those are Farhan people who are doing good. Those are Farhan people. Everyone, and I think the statement was something along these lines, everybody who's doing well on this team, Farhan guy. And I said, is that true? So I did my version of a deep dive. This is about as deep as I'll go because I don't like the deep end. That's your end.
Yep.
I like to be able to walk when I'm in the pool. This one, I had to be on my tippy toes. So I basically got everyone who matters, like apologies to people like Christian Kost. He just showed up and he doesn't play a ton, but like, all of the people who are really having an imprint on this Giants roster, and who acquired them? Was it Farhan? Was it post-Farhan? Or was it pre-Farhan?
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
So, you want to play Farhan or not?
Let's play Farhan or not.
Farhan or not. I'm going to start, basically, with the guys who are doing really well. Okay. Elliot Ramos. Farhan or not?
I'm going to say not.
That is correct. That is
pre-Farhan.
Yeah. Elliot Ramos.
Even though he's only 23, he was drafted probably 13 years ago.
Correct. Correct. He was 12.
Something.
He was 12, and he looked great in his Little League uniform. All right, let's do the one that Richie was just really tripped up on. Camilo Doval, Farhan or not?
Farhan.
That is not a Farhan acquisition.
It's a
pre-Farhan acquisition. Camilo was 4 years old when they signed him.
Yep.
Okay. How about Hayden Birdsong? Farhan or not?
Farhan.
That is correct. That is a Farhan draft pick.
Okay. Yep.
Hayden Birdsong.
Yep.
All right.
I like the player. I like the pick.
Robbie Ray. Farhan or not?
Farhan.
That is correct.
Was that last year or the year before that?
Yeah, that guy traded, what's his nuts? He traded him to Seattle for...
No,
the guy with the really long last name. It was Haniger and the pitcher. The pitcher who the Dodgers used to hit 40 home... DeSclafani. DeSclafani.
Not restaurant quality.
No. If you got DiVincenzo and DeSclafani both on the menu, order the DiVincenzo.
Yes.
It's better.
With the side salad.
Thank you. All right. So yeah, that's how he got Robbie Ray for those two dudes.
Yep.
Exactly. Tyler Rogers, Farhan or not?
Not.
That is correct.
Yep.
That is a pre-Farhan acquisition.
Yep.
All right. Eric Miller, Farhan or not?
I've never heard of him. Farhan. Oh, yeah.
That is correct.
He's a reliever. I'm just playing.
Yeah, Farhan traded for him.
Of course he did.
Yeah, Farhan.
That's what he does.
Logan Webb, Farhan or not?
Farhan. That's a not?
No, that is a pre-Farhan draft pick,
okay.
Logan Webb. Yeah. Logan Webb went through a hell of a lot in the minor league.
Yeah, and he's older than I think, too.
Remember, like, steroid suspensions and things that were, like, way back in the day.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, Logan's been on a ride, man.
Okay.
You know, he's a Raider fan, so they
like the way you tied those two things together.
They misbehave sometimes. Anyway. Just trying to tick people off. All right. Ryan Walker, Farhan or not?
That's a Farhan. It's a classic Farhan.
Sorry,
no?
That is not a Farhan acquisition. No.
I'm running cold right now.
Thank you.
That's true that I'm running cold.
All right. Let's go with Landon Roop. Landon Roop, Farhan or not?
I mean, that's a Farhan to me. Yeah.
That is correct. That is a draft
pick. Who else is going to find Landon Roop?
Landon Roop.
Yeah.
All right. Mike Yastrzemski.
Farhan. He rule fived him. He didn't rule five him.
From the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
He plucked him.
Yeah.
He plucked him.
Arb-3'd him. That's what it was.
I got a couple easy ones. You want a couple bunnies?
Sure.
Give you some bunnies here. Jung-Hoo Lee.
That's a Farhan.
There you go. Lamont Wade.
Oh, that's a great Farhan. One of his all-time Farhans.
I don't know if Farhan wants that one right now. Wilmer Flores.
That's a Farhan.
Casey Schmidt. What about Casey Schmidt?
That ball got Schmidt on.
That's right.
That's a Farhan.
That is a Farhan draft pick.
Man.
Right, you're running hot again.
Yeah.
But how about this? Try this one off the size. Tyler Fitzgerald, second baseman for the San Francisco Giants. Tyler Fitzgerald.
Ty Fitzgerald.
Farhan or not?
That's a not.
Sorry, that is. Okay. That is a Farhan.
You led me to it.
Farhan,
he totally duped me. That was on me.
Fourth round draft pick, Tyler Fitzgerald. Okay. How about Kyle Harrison? Kyle Harrison. Farhan or not?
That's a Farhan.
That is accurate. Good job. All right. Couple more for you. Luis Matos. Farhan or not?
That's a not.
No, give him the dig. That is not a Farhan. You are correct.
Okay.
You are correct.
That was pre-Farhan, yeah.
One more.
Okay.
One more. And Richie just brought up his name earlier, so this is kind of, this is the big finale.
Mm.
Ready for this now? Okay. Because he might be an all-star this year. Randy Rodriguez. Farhan or not?
That's a Farhan.
That is not a Farhan. That is not a Farhan. I'm sorry.
Not a Farhan.
That predates Farhan Zaidi. Some of these guys who are like brand new and young, they drafted them when they were like teenagers. And so, no, that goes actually, and if memory serves, Nick, because now I'm doing it from memory, I do think that Randy might have been plucked like in early 2018, and then Farhan was hired in late 2018. So it was close, but he is not a Farhan.
Okay.
So
I was waiting for the Adamus and the Verlander for layups. Those were not Farhans. No. I was hoping for a couple of freebies.
Willie,
thank you.
Willie Adamus.
Right.
Farhan or not?
No. No, God,
not a Farhan, no. And Justin Verlander was not a Farhan either. But anyway, so what is the big takeaway? Other than that was fun. I think the takeaway is there's a little bit of a mixed bag, but don't give Farhan credit for the Camilo Duvalls and the Randy Rodriguez's and the Elliot Ramoses of the world, even though it might feel like those were his guys. But you certainly can give him some credit for some things. Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be a player. That's a player, and they've got him now for 5 more years. The Robbie Ray trade was absolutely brilliant. Landon Roop looks like that's got staying power. Kyle Harrison's figured himself out.
Yep, yep.
Hayden Birdsong's on the come. And you know, and Wizenhunt, like these, some of these pitchers that may be the rotation here for the next handful of years, those are Farhan's fingerprints.
Right.
So, you know, there's a little something to it.
There is, and you also, I do think you have to look at any organization and give credit for development. And Steph Curry with the Warriors is a good example. That was a Larry Riley when Larry Riley was the GM, and you know they drafted Steph Curry, and then Larry was gone, and he developed, and you had Jerry West come in, you had Bob Myers, and you had so many other figures who were at the helm. And so it's not only about who finds a player, but it's also how that player develops. And right now, all those names you're listing off there who are Farhan guys, a lot of them did develop while he was here.
No doubt. But then again, here would be kind of my overall umbrella view of the idea that's being put out there. I know it's early for Buster, but boy, his two big free agent signings have not really measured up so far. A lot of the Farhan guys are playing. Listen, I firmly believe that there are multiple reasons why the Giants are 31-23. And if you want to say it's the bullpen, you can do that. But I'm going to say that Buster Posey and Willie Adamas are a major part of why this team is 31-23. And it's all the things that we fans don't really get to see. I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier. I, if you want to call it vibe, if you want to call it morale, what have you, you can do that. I just think that the San Francisco Giants the last handful of years suffered from having a number of players in the clubhouse at any given time who were worried about two things. One, their role was not what they thought they were told it was going to be. And two, who is the guy with the locker next to me? Because it was changing every single day, up and back in Sacramento and blah, blah, blah. Remember, Hayden Birdsong had that incredible outing in Colorado.
Yep.
Broke a rookie record and woke up in San Jose. Like, what the hell are you doing
That's
to
right.
these kids? Right? So I think, like, don't forget that kind of stuff in terms of why the Giants are winning some of these close games in the end. I think it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal, and ultimately all of sports comes down to human beings, and when you've got 5 or 6 guys who know they're going to play every day and you have the reliability of a set lineup, that's going to translate to a lot more chemistry and cohesiveness, because ultimately it's not just numbers on a page, it's human beings. And if you feel good about your role, you're more likely to perform better.
Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. Javi Lopez joins us next. TJ Houshmandzadeh in an hour. Wait till you hear what he said about Brock Purdy. That's all coming up on Willard and Dibs.
I mean, it's a good question. That's a good question.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, so good.
And we're about to ask more questions. I don't know if any of them are going to be great. We'll try.
If we get one from our next guest, University of Virginia graduate, that's got to count for more.
Well, but you
now, smart guy,
but he can hear you now, so now it's cheating.
He's not listening to me.
You just asked for one. You're not.
I
allowed
didn't
to
ask
do
for
that.
One. I'm just saying it'd be a validation sensation to get it from somebody who is that well educated.
I'm calling a technical foul if it happens. But anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll also see what happens with the Valkyries, which is coming up here in 40 minutes. New York Liberty, you can hear the game on the Valkyries dedicated channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app, Search Valkyries. Kevin Dana, Sophia Jones have the call. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line and ask some questions of the great Javi Lopez, former Giant, current analyst, joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Javi, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas? Good to be back with y'all.
Well, it's great to have you. I want to know, since you put on five different uniforms in your career, when you join a new team, did you press? And what does that mean? Like, how did that manifest itself in your performance?
I would say the pressing came, more than anything, it came at the trade deadline. When I got traded, I pressed to impress with the Red Sox when I got traded over there in 2006, and then when I got traded to the Giants in 2010. Now, joining a new club, if you put $182 million in my back pocket, I might stress a little bit as well. But I did not have those kind of contracts to deal with. But I'm assuming that's what you're talking about.
It is. Like, do you see that with Willy Adames when you watch right now?
I do. I feel like just watching him, he's in between. And I think when I say he's in between, it's he might be sitting off speed and he's getting nothing but fastball. So then that next step bat, he's like, all right, I'm going to sit heater, and he gets nothing but off speeds. And I think that he's just getting caught off balance a little bit. And he's trying to do too much. I think he's just trying to find a groove that he was in such a nice one last year. And he's just trying to find his way. And, you know, the Giants need it. But when you talk to a lot of hitters, at least when I did in my career, they break the season down into 200 at-bat tranches, and I think that's kind of where you look at it is, like, for him, he's in his new set of 200 at-bats, and I think that's how he's got to kind of focus in. Forget about what's happened the last couple months and just kind of focus on where you're at now and how you're going to get incrementally better.
Is this something that can become contagious for the other guys in the lineup? Because it feels like, you know, when one bat goes cold, other bats start to go cold. Are hitting slumps contagious?
I don't think they are, to be honest with you. I think what maybe you draw that from, and I can sense that at times, I guess, is like when your big dogs aren't getting hits, then you're like, wait a second. So now I got to try to step up and try to do a little bit too much. And I think that's where you might kind of get into that spot. But if you kind of stay with your focus and your plan, ultimately, that's once you go up to the plate and you have your game plan and you try to execute it, you can't do anything else, right? I mean, the pitcher executes a great pitch, and you know it's coming, and you take a great swing, and it hits a line drive to somebody. I mean, that's all you can do. So I think a lot of guys might feel that, maybe younger guys, and shouldn't say a lot of the veteran guys, but the younger guys, when your big dogs aren't out there consistently on base or driving in runs, that sometimes you feel like you got to step up, and that's when it can get a little bit troublesome for ball clubs.
Javi, you're 47, I'm 50, Dibs over here is 50-something, nobody really knows. But anyway, point is, when we grew up, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball was a big deal. That's like on the bottom end of the fastball spectrum, and some guys are hitting 105, but the mound is still in the same spot. The point I'm getting at is it seems it's way harder to hit now. So to what level should we adjust the way we sort of assess offensive players in 2025?
Yeah, that's something that I've thought about a lot. My son's 12 and I'm coaching him, and I see some kids that are throwing in the 80s. We've faced a couple kids that are already throwing 80 miles an hour at 12 years old, 50 feet. And I'm like, how are you supposed to hit that? And let alone, what are you going to do when you do get hit actually by a guy like that? You might quit baseball. So it's one of those things where I do wonder what the shift is going to be. I think what you're starting to notice now is abbreviated leg kicks, even just kind of a toe tap, keeping those big, long, big kicks that you're just not seeing it as much anymore from hitters, because it's just so hard to time it up when you got to cover 99 to 100, kind of like what you're talking about, even 95, like you mentioned. So it is difficult. I don't know how you would really want to. I think you still kind of got to evaluate the bat to ball skills. I think the strikeout rates are still really high, and I think the better teams that you see across the league just find a way to put the ball in play. And I think when you can do that, you put just a little bit more pressure on a defense to try to execute. So I do think that's you're moving the goalposts a little bit. I think everyone is every year to try to evaluate a hitter the right way. But I think ultimately, when you want the strikeout rates to be down, and you want the contact rate to be up, and then that's something you can work with. And I think, again, the results are you can't really control that, but if you can put yourself in a good position to kind of get off your A swing as many times as possible, the results will come. It's just the amount of pressure that you put in those 6 inches in between those ears that can be a little bit difficult at times.
It seems like you're describing Wilmer Flores this year. I've watched so many of his at-bats where he's just staying back on the ball and staying deep with it and just hitting it where the defense may not be currently located. Are you seeing in Wilmer a guy who's kind of doing exactly what you described about just simplifying the approach?
Yeah, definitely. I think with Wilmer, you could see it in his leg kick. He's a little bit more spread out. He's got 60-40, a little bit, 60% of that weight's on that backside, and he's just really kind of reading and reacting. And when the velocity comes in at the velocity that it does, you really just have to catch it. You know, you kind of hear all these – it's easier said than done. It's the hardest thing to do in sports, in my opinion, is to hit a baseball, and let alone one that's breaking and things like that. So, Wilmer's able to kind of do that. He has a little bit of a kick, little toe tap, like he rolls up on that front toe, and he just kind of gives himself as much time as possible and just tries to clip it. Now, he's having a great year, sensational year, being able to be up there in league leaders for runs batted in. But I do like the way he's been able to approach things. And Luis Matos isn't getting the reps that he maybe thought he was going to get when spring training started and the way that was going. But when you watch him, he's got a two-strike approach. He spreads out. He tries to put the ball in play, and he's one of the harder guys to strike out in that Giants roster. So there are adjustments that are going to have to be made from every hitter, and I think that's something that you're having, not just with the Giants. Obviously, we get you're fine focused on them, but you look across the landscape of baseball, the teams that are able to make that adjustment and put the ball in play and put the pressure on the defense is a little bit more successful. And, to that credit, you can look at the Tigers, the way they kind of try to just put a lot of pressure on the ball club with speed and putting the ball in play and making your defenses work hard to get outs.
Former Giant and Giant analyst now, Javi Lopez, joining us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Javi, let's talk about this rotation a little bit. I really think everybody's excited about what Roop is doing, how Birdsong looks, even Harrison, who's now back in the rotation. If those three keep going the way they're going, And let's add Wisenhunt to this too, who's knocking on the door. What happens when Verlander gets healthy? What do you do?
Well, I think what it does is just give you that extra bit of rope, that safety net in case he needs an extra start, maybe a rehab start, or in case he wants to slow it down a little bit. Asking a 42-year-old to make 30-something starts a year, that's a big ask. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't want it. He wants to go to the post. We have a lot of mutual friends that say that there's nobody that wants to fight more than Justin Verlander. But those guys, the young guys, are giving you that opportunity to go out there and pretty much, let them kind of establish their careers and keep that going. But it allows the saltier guy like Justin Verlander to honestly take time to get ready, to make sure when he's out there that he can go and make a stretch of 15, 16 straight starts. And that's one thing I've really liked about this rotation so far. You're a third of the way through the season, and everyone's in the double-digit starts, and that's kind of rare nowadays. I feel like guys are always coming up with something, whether it's a hammy, a little blister on the finger, whatever it might be. But to have these guys make those starts, I think it's such an important thing for the Giants. And it's torture baseball, right? When the Giants are playing right, they're winning a 3-2 ball game. It's going to be 4-3. It's always a one-run game, so... Yeah, the starters are the key to it all, and it's really setting up for one of the better bullpens in all of baseball that the Giants have right now, too.
And the bullpen just gets stronger with Jordan Hicks being down there, and as he gets more assimilated to being a bullpen arm again, his velocity is going to probably get back up toward 100. What have you made so far of Jordan Hicks being back there in the bullpen?
Well, I think he's really been on the attack. He's accepted the role. Now, I haven't had a chance to actually talk to him. I'll be calling the game here in a couple weeks to kind of just check where his head's at. But I feel like he's taken the role and run with it. He's out there, and he's really trying to pound the strike zone. The velocity is exactly what you talk about. I mean, you're having to hit 99 to 102, and he throws a sinker. It's a power sinker. So that ball's moving. It's diving, and he gives up hard contact, but that's normal because when you hit that ball, it's going to be a hard ground ball somewhere. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. You know, I think it's just yet another great arm to have and another great weapon to have. And for me, it's another look in that bullpen that is, that's just a little bit different. You got, you know, Camilo with that little funky low three-quarter whippy sidearm kind of thing. You got Ryan Walker with the same kind of deal with, but he turned his whole back to you. And you got Tyler Rogers doing his thing. Like, I'm a big fan of, if you look at a clock, you want arm angles of as many hours as you can get. And I think the Giants are kind of doing that. There's a couple guys that throw at the 1 o'clock, a couple of guys that throw at the 3 o'clock. And I think that's ultimately what you want. You want to make it as difficult as you can to hit the baseball. And the Giants are doing a nice job of doing that.
Javi, you used the word torture. You joined the team in 2010. So you are a perfect guy to ask this question. When a team is struggling to score runs, what kind of pressure does that put on the pitching staff, and what is the fallout from that?
I'm not sure if there is a big a lot of pressure on the pitching staff in the sense that you go out and you do what you can do, right? And I think in 2010 we were treated to prime Timmy Lincecum and Matt Cain and Bumgarner and even Jonathan Sanchez at the time, Barry Zito. Like, guys were throwing the ball extremely well. You knew you were going to get 5 innings minimum from those guys, if not more. And so for a bullpen guy, you kind of slot in wherever you play the game with Bochy, and you knew it was going to happen. And I think the benefit of this starting rotation right now is that they're starting to get their sea legs under them now. They're able to get deeper into a ball game. You're understanding as a bullpen when most likely you're going to end up coming into this ball game, and you know you got to keep the game close. That is it. And I think as the offensive goes, and that's where I think Pat Burrell hopefully is kind of trying to push a little bit of that knowledge. He was there. He was a heart of the lineup guy in 2010 where they had a meeting and they talked about, guys, we just have to find a way to score 4, find a way to score 3. Our pitching will keep us in this ball game. And I think that's what you're kind of seeing. They haven't been able to hit that stretch. They started off hot. They've lost 11 of 16 on the road. They're playing about 500 baseball, but it's in there. And I think that's the one thing you're noticing. The body language is right. Nobody's hanging their heads. And I think ultimately when you're able to step back, you see you're still in the fight here in the NL West. You haven't faced any of the big dogs yet. You know, it's yet another difficult month with some of the teams that you're playing, but just keep your head down, keep driving. And I think that's the best part about it. Don't think too much in the big picture when you're pitching and when you're on the offensive side. Just figure out how to win that game that day.
Ryan Walker's been having a little bit of a scuffle of late. How are you feeling about the closer spot? Is it time to maybe go to Camilo Duvall, or do you stick with Walker through a few more maybe rough outings?
Well, I do think that when you look at Ryan Walker, he even said it himself, which I found really, really interesting, that he said he's getting a little rotational. Like, sitting here on my couch, I can watch it, and I can tell you that he's getting too rotational. And he wasn't able to get his arm out and extend. And he doesn't need to overthrow the fastball. It's going to come out hot, and it's going to come out hot with movement. But sometimes when you're in that mode and the last 3 outs, I don't care what people tell you, that's the hardest thing to do in a ball game, is to close out a game. And do you have to have the right mental approach for that? And I think Ryan was getting a little bit in his own head. And to be honest with you, he was executing some great pitches, and they were finding holes, and they were getting through. And all of a sudden, now you're pitching yourself into jams that you weren't used to. But I think the way that it's looked so far with Buster Posey at the helm and given the keys to Bob Melvin and his staff, they've stuck with guys and kind of just made them, trusting them that they're going to figure it out and they're going to find a way. And I think it's resonated with a lot of the guys. Like, you know, Tyler Fitzgerald was maybe a bubble guy early in April. You're like, oh, man, this guy – he had so much talent last year, but now he's really scuffling. They stick with him, and now he's one of their hotter hitters. It's just one of those things. When you don't panic and you let the guy kind of work through these things, it's there. And it's, again, nice to have a fallback. And Camilo Duvall has been throwing the ball extremely well. Randy Rodriguez is out of his mind. He's got under a 1, I think, ERA. I mean, this kid's on fire, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a shot to close out a couple games. But, you know, when you have those safety nets, I mean, that's such a great option for Bob Melvin and the rest of the staff to know that, yeah, you want to win every game. And yes, you want Ryan Walker to be that guy. But if ultimately you give him enough run and he just isn't commanding the zone the way you want him to, you can hand the ball right back to your former all-star closer in Camilo Doval. Not many teams can say that.
No doubt about it. Javi, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it always.
Gentlemen, anytime. I appreciate you.
Okay, there it is. Javi Lopez here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. I don't know, man. The question that keeps getting asked, you know, Steiny and Goo asked us when we were in the crossover earlier, and I'm almost starting to get a little, like, shoulders up when this comes up, which is, right, the way they asked it, are they resonating? Are the Giants resonating? My way of answering it was they're resonating for the people that want them to resonate.
Yeah.
But, like, this is a new sort of evolution of the conversation that we've been having the last few years. Everybody's like, huh, it's not quite hitting me where I want it to hit, but, boy, they need somebody whose jersey I'd like. And then whether it's Jung-Hoo Lee and the way he's captured that crowd, whether it's Elliot Ramos who threatens, ladies and gentlemen, to be the first back-to-back left field starter on opening day ever since Barry Bonds, or you got the left side of the infield now under long-term contracts. You've got Logan Webb doing what he's doing. Like, I don't think we can have this conversation anymore about, like, is there a player that we like? They've got everyday players now. And, dude, they've got a winning record. They are going stride for stride with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we're still asking the same question? Like, I guess I'd put it this way. If you're still asking for the Giants to be exciting, I think maybe you're just not excited. Like, I don't, like, either the world has changed or you don't like baseball or the way the game has evolved with 104-mile-an-hour fastballs and constant strikeouts. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
But 15 years ago, what you're watching right now, this city found it wildly exciting. To the tune of a million people at a parade. And now we're having the same. They're 31-23.
Right. They're on pace to have the same record as that team in 2010. And I laid out the numbers before about where this team is versus that team. And they're almost identical in runs per game. This team scores a tenth of a run more per game. That's, you know, almost a non-factor. Home runs, exactly the same. ERA, the same. Bullpen ERA, basically the same. But this team doesn't have Lincecum and Kane, and, like, you know, Javi was saying, you had elite Lincecum at that time. I do think a couple things are different. One, it is a different world now.
Yep.
In 2025, and, you know, younger people who, if you were 12 years old in 2010 and you were all in on the Giants then, now you're 27, and are you still that much of a baseball fan? I think you're right about, like, it resonates with who wants it to resonate with them. I don't know if baseball has become less of a cultural thing where you listen to every game, you watch every game. It's more for me like, oh, I'm going to a baseball game. Okay. And if you're a diehard fan and you watch every game, then yeah, you're watching every game. But I think the general audience is less enamored by baseball than they were even 15 years ago.
It doesn't even necessarily need to be some sort of a bad thing. Like, I'll put it this way. We're getting old enough to see this cycle. And here's the cycle I'm sort of talking about. When I was a little kid, I basically walked into an environment where Bay Area sports did not win titles. Period. Like, my dad was just like, I mean, dying for anything. But it didn't take long. On my 7th birthday, the 49ers win the Super Bowl for the first time. And this is after the catch and all of that stuff. And that was incredibly emotional. And again, I'm not speaking for the whole history of Bay Area sports, but that's my window into it. Like, the Warriors were bad, and the Niners always lost to the Cowboys, and the Giants were bad. That was my window into sports. And then the Niners had the 80s. And all of a sudden, that was there. And so I grew up, once I was a teenager, sitting there just going like, My appetite for something to happen to the Giants and Warriors was way higher than it was for the 49ers because I had seen the 49ers win and then win again and then win again and then win again. And what we're starting to see now is that there are a lot of people, and a lot of them are working on our show and running around this office. Their desire for the 49ers to do something is higher because they haven't seen it. They haven't seen it, and it's been that long since the 49ers won a Super Bowl. We're now over 30 years since they've won a Super Bowl. But the Giants and Warriors have both done things within basically the last decade. And so I think there's something about that, too, which is that the intensity around needing the Giants to get to the postseason and have this city on its ear, it's going to be a little muted for a while because we're just not that far removed from three of these.
11 years removed from the last one. And
not that long in the greater scheme of things.
It's really not. And I'm thinking about Lucas, director of sports, behind the glass today. I think he's 32. So if you go back to 2010, he was 17. And that's, you know, peak high school years. And, you know, 17, 19, and 21, the three ages he was when they won the World Series. So, yeah, he's gone from being a young adult to now being a full-grown adult, and it's only been 11 years since the last one, so there is a little bit of that lack of a hunger, so to speak, for Giants fans. But I also think about other factors that make it more challenging to be a Giants fan as opposed to when I was Lucas's age or
Such
even
as,
younger.
Like what?
It's very cost-preventative, for
yeah,
one.
That's true for all of them, isn't it?
But yeah, I do. I think that you can... Baseball is more the sport where you have to be there. Like football, don't want to go to a football game because if you're not at the game, you can go two screens, red zone, my laptop, fantasy.
That's fair.
Football is one where you go to the game and it's fun, but it's equally as fun, if not more fulfilling, to be at home. Baseball is the one where being there is much more of an impactful experience than watching it on TV.
You're probably right. And then, you know, but the football thing, like, those prices are absolutely insane. But maybe you could wrap your head around, like, there's only eight of these.
Right.
Or nine of these.
You go to two of them.
So, like, I'll go to one or two of them, and it's a massive event. Like, if you want to feel like you really attended Giants baseball in the offseason, you got to go, you know, eight, nine, 10 times. So, yeah, I get it. I mean, I don't know what the hell in this world isn't cost prohibitive right now.
You're right. You're right. But I think baseball is the one that gets hit the most because, yeah, we're going to go to four Warrior games. That's expensive, but we're going to go to four games. And if you really, like you said, you want to be a baseball fan, you want to go to the Giants and you want to go to a lot of games, it's, you know, parking and all the rest of it. I think it's more cost prohibitive now than ever before.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Speaking of prohibitive, TJ Houshmandzadeh apparently believes that Brock Purdy's contract may end up being prohibitive. He had quite a statement earlier today on FS1. We're going to play this for you coming up next. TJ will join us in a half hour. This is one hell of a take. Wait till you hear it. TJ Houshmandzadeh on the Purdy contract is coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.